From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Capping his 12-day tour of Asia, U.S. President Donald Trump met with his counterpart in the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, a leader with a bloody reputation for overseeing a war on drugs that has killed thousands. Trump has boasted about having a, quote, great relationship with Duterte and commended him on his, quote, unbelievable job on the drug problem. The two apparently did not discuss the issue of human rights in either the Philippines or the U.S. during their private meeting. Trump and Duterte met for the first time in person on Saturday at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation meeting in Vietnam before Trump headed to Manila. On Sunday, Duterte serenaded Trump at a dinner with a love song, while protesters marched outside chanting, "Ban Trump." My guest is San Ho Tree. He's a fellow at the Drug Policy Project with the Institute for Policy Studies. Welcome to the program, San Ho.
Pleasure to be with you.
Before we get into what happened at the meeting, can you give us a recap on how human rights advocates view the war on drugs under President Duterte, who has been president for a few years now? How would you summarize to somebody not familiar with what's been happening in the Philippines how this president has been dealing with the problem of drug addiction in the Philippines?
Well, it's been an absolute bloodbath. Since President Duterte took office 16 months ago, he has killed, on average, about one person, more than one person every hour since he's been off in an office. So the death estimates run anywhere from 7,000 on the low end to 13 or 14,000 on the high end. And that latter figure is the one most Philippine activists use. These are systematic killings. Sometimes it's done by police, in which cases people are often planted. I mean, they're shot, and then the guns are planted on them afterwards.
Very with often signs the corner, sometimes, right?
There's saying signs. "I am a drug pusher," a cardboard sign around their neck, and nobody asks questions. Sometimes during the coroner's reports or the journalists will see, handcuff marks on the wrists of the individual. And yet the police say these people died because they tried to shoot police. They were resisting arrests. Over and over again, we see that people are being shot and then having evidence planted on them. More recently, there have been a spate of killings of minors, of kids who have been dragged by police down alleyways and shot to death and then had guns and drugs planted on them. And this has been caught on CCTV camera. So this has caused a huge outrage domestically in the Philippines. And it's also caused President Duterte to withdraw the Philippine National Police, at least temporarily, he's done this before, from the war on drugs, saying the Philippine DEA will take over the drug war. And yet they have about a little over 1,000 deployable field officers for a huge country like the Philippines. That can't be sustainable. So I think the reason President Duterte tried to tone down the drug war a bit was precisely because in the month leading up to the ASEAN meetings in Manila, he wanted to put on a prettier face for the international community. And because the international press corps would be in Manila, and he didn't want to make this the emphasis of all their stories. So there's the death squad killings. And so some of this is done by police. Most of it is being done by shadowy death squads or vigilantes, which are very, very, very often orchestrated by the police. CBS just did a great report yesterday where they interviewed one of the assassins who said, he gets $400 per hit from the police, and the police tell him who to kill. There's many, many, many journalistic accounts of assassins being interviewed and telling their stories.
So there is no doubt there. It's not like these are allegations. This is all very well documented. What's been happening in the Philippines for the past year and a half under Duterte is not a matter of debate among people who watch these things, who document them. Journalists have documented them. Human rights organizations have documented them. And often the United States will make such issues political points, unless, of course, they are friendly with the nations where these human rights violations occur. Now, the Philippines and the U.S., even before Trump took office, have had friendly relations, right? And the issue of the drug war was not brought up in a big way under Obama, although Duterte expressed a distaste for Obama. How did the Obama government view the Philippines under Duterte?
Well, they made a lot of critical statements. They withheld a small amount of aid. There wasn't a whole lot of drug war assistance going to the Philippines to begin with, because it's not a transit country for the U.S., so it's not something that we, you know, it's not a high priority issue for us. But they took some symbolic measures, and even that, I mean, we have very little traction in terms of coercing Duterte to behave better. Nonetheless, there's also the moral opprobrium of speaking out, and the international condemnation. And that's where I think people have traction to really get Duterte's attention and the attention of the Philippine government. But under the Trump administration, of course, that has been completely tossed out the window. There's been no criticisms whatsoever. In fact, the few times Trump actually talked to Duterte before this meeting, he actually praised him, saying, "You're doing it right in terms of the drug war."
Right. So this was really remarkable. Here you have a president in the United States who is trying to pay lip service to the victims of the opioid crisis in the U.S., even if he hasn't actually set aside enough money to deal with that. And we've got our own issues with how the United States has dealt with its drug problem. But because there are a lot of white Americans now who are struggling with and falling victim to dying from the opioid addiction crisis, Congress is attempting to take steps. Trump is paying some lip service to that. And then he is praising somebody, his counterpart in the Philippines, for simply killing drug addicts and killing people in the name of drug addiction. It's not even clear if the people that he's killing are related or are guilty of the things that Duterte is claiming he's guilty of. So what does that say about Trump? Is he just hoping nobody in the U.S. will notice?
You know, everything about Trump, he makes all these international relations personal. It's all about him and the other leader. And so in terms of this Asian tour he's been on for the past 2 weeks, he has gotten played in every single country he's been to, just about. All they have to do, and I think the Japanese and the Chinese and the Koreans figured this out, you say a few nice things about him, and suddenly he's putty in your hands. And so he's given away the store, and he's going to come home with nothing to show for it. And in terms of the Philippines, he's got also another conflict of interest, shall we say. There's Trump Tower Manila, right? This huge luxury resort development where Trump lends his name and gets licensing fees. And that's $140+ million development. And President Duterte very cynically played off of that. So even before Trump got inaugurated, he appointed this guy, Jose Antonio, the developer of Trump Tower Manila, as a special envoy to the United States. So the conflicts of interest in terms of the emoluments clause and foreign interference is huge here.
That's not an issue that even is being raised very much in the media. Let's also talk about what it means for all the sort of Asian leaders to embrace Duterte. I mean, you know, he's the president of the ASEAN, current president of ASEAN, which is the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. That's why the summit is taking place in the Philippines capital. And there are, you know, jolly photos of all the Asian heads of state shaking hands. Are any of the other Asian leaders making an issue of Duterte's crackdown and you know, the killing fields in the country?
Of it, they're making it in the exact opposite way. So the Indonesian government is actually looking admiringly towards the Philippines about how they deal with their drug war. And so the head of the Indonesian drug agency has actually given orders to shoot to kill. If anyone resists arrest, do like the Philippines do and just shoot them.
And Indonesia, of course, has a long history of human rights violations. It's a country
with
a very, very bloody history.
Yeah. And in fact, the country to look to in terms of interesting developments is Thailand. Thailand waged a brutal and deadly war on drugs back in 2002-2003 period. They killed about 2,800 people in extrajudicial killings. And now the junta is actually trying to reform a lot of these drug laws. And they're actually trying to delist methamphetamines, which is the main drug in the region, from the prohibited schedule. which can allow people to access harm reduction services and do other things. The Thai government tried doing the bloody thing, trying to murder the way out of this problem, and it failed. It filled the prisons, and they're realizing that it's been a mistake.
Wow. So Thailand is offering a different approach that, of course, many countries around the world, some European countries have tried versions of, you know, well, let's try empathy, let's try treatment and rehabilitation. And whoa, look, that actually works better than simply either incarcerating people or, in the case of the Philippines, simply trying to kill them. Now, I want to go back to what you were saying about Trump and these personal relations. It's amazing to us that it should be amazing, but I think we've all sort of gotten a little bit numb now living in the United States under the Trump administration. But it should be amazing to us that our president feels that he has something in common with another president who has so much blood on his hands, that they literally have a, you know, a platonic love affair going. Duterte actually sang a song to Trump in Manila on Sunday night. He sang a love song to Trump. You know, I'll try to pull up the lyrics of that, but it was pretty remarkable. What do you make of this kind of personal, you know, loving relationship between the two?
To be fair, karaoke is a very big deal in the Philippines, but it's just appalling the way that this was pulled off.
Okay, here's the one of the lines in the song is, "You are the light in my world, a half of this heart of mine."
You know, what Trump says about the Philippines matters. Yeah. There is a wonderful documentary that's distributed by NBC Left Field Productions. NBC Left Field is their Twitter handle. And it's a 23-minute video, and in it, they interview a police officer in the Philippines who speaks very admiringly of Trump. He says, "Can you imagine the president of the United States, such a powerful country, giving us praise for our drug war?" Wow. They're actually using this as some kind of sanction for their killings. So these words have real consequences.
So when Duterte continues the killing after the ASEAN summit is over, we can thank Trump for encouraging him to go along. What about the public response? I understand that there were protests in Manila. Many of them said ban Trump. They were organized by some of the political parties in the Philippines. What was their message?
You know, largely critical of Trump and his support for the drug war and Trump in general. But it's important to note that President Duterte still has fairly high ratings, much higher than Trump does domestically in the United States, of course. But they've been historically rather high. And the drug war, unfortunately, has been rather popular, though it's taking a hit in the past few months because of these killings that have been caught on video of minors and things. But still, it is rather popular. And what Duterte has done, as many authoritarian figures do, is scapegoat. And so this is what's going on in terms of the drug war in the Philippines is reminiscent of the pogroms under Tsarist Russia, you know, where anything goes in terms of persecuting Jews. They were marginalized and dehumanized, and all the social ills were scapegoated on one group. And they said, if we just get rid of this group, everything will be wine and roses again. This is what Duterte has done with the drug war. He said, it's just these people who use methamphetamines, you just get rid of them. And somehow all these structural problems and inequality and the problems caused by poverty and alienation and despair are ignored. And so drugs are a very functional scapegoat in that way. And they're used very often by dictators and authoritarians.
So the protesters were not sort of equally critiquing Trump and Duterte. It was mostly aimed at Trump. If so, why? Why are people upset specifically at Trump?
Well, no. There is a very genuine opposition to Duterte domestically, but it has been historically rather small, but it's starting to grow, and it's starting to grow faster now as a result of these killings. And the fact that he's embarrassing them on the international stage, the Philippine peso is falling rapidly in value. Foreign investors are not interested in locating in the Philippines. If your employees could be shot, this has actually happened. So earlier this year, a South Korean businessman was actually arrested, raided by the Philippine drug police and brought back to the police headquarters. And then he was strangled that day. And then 2 weeks later, the Philippine drug police sent out a ransom note to his family. And they actually paid without a proof of life video. And this became public, and it caused a huge international scandal for the country. And so foreign corporations need to think twice about locating in the Philippines at this point.
There were also, I understand, anti-Trump protests in the Koreas and some other countries that Trump visited. I'm not sure if they were specifically around issues that that we've been talking about, but he is fairly unpopular, it seems, in Asia. He is going to come back looking at what he has said in South Korea on the issue of North Korea as his crowning achievement. But it seems to me that his encouragement of Duterte might be his crowning achievement, walking away, you know, patting a bloody dictator on the back for the killings.
Yes, and also the saber rattling, of course, in terms of Korea. Yeah. His famous, infamous tweet yesterday about, you know, calling Kim Jong-un a short, fat guy. This is when you have three nuclear-armed aircraft carriers in the region, the first time in a decade three of them have been assembled this way. Things are in a very short, hair trigger. And here's Trump sending these incredibly inflammatory and childish tweets. It's got to be rattling the region quite severely.
So finally, what should happen on the issue of the Philippines and the drug war from outside? You know, there's human rights organizations, there's journalists that have been calling attention to the bloodbath happening in the Philippines. You mentioned that the U.S. doesn't have that much political or financial leverage, or I should say may not have that much financial leverage, but does have more political and maybe moral leverage. And some of the countries in the West, I know Canada's Justin Trudeau has been called upon to impose sanctions on the Philippines of the war on drugs. What can the international community do, if anything, on this issue, noting that, of course, the West hasn't always fairly used its pressure on poorer nations?
So I think this is where the United Nations comes in and international multilateral organizations come in. President Duterte the other day threatened to slap Agnes Calamard. She is the UN Special Rapporteur on extrajudicial killings. And he said, if you impugn my country's human rights record, I will slap you. This is the kind of hostility he's shown toward the EU, toward the UN, toward the US, even the Pope. He has cursed that, I think the UN investigations on extrajudicial killings and human rights need to take place. And international charges could be brought up at a later point, but these investigations have to go forward.
And where's a good place to find out about, for people who really do want to investigate what's happening with the drug war in the Philippines, is there a good resource that you can point? Are there groups like Human Rights Watch or even your organization, Institute of Policy Studies?
Yes. Well, first of all, they can follow me on Twitter, at San Ho Tree. I tweet a lot about the Philippines, but it's also Human Rights Watch does excellent work on the Philippines human rights situation, and Amnesty International as well.
We'll post links to those from our website as well as your Twitter handle later today. Thanks so much, San Ho.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been San Ho Tree. He's a fellow at the Drug Policy Project with the Institute for Policy Studies. We've been discussing Donald Trump's love affair with President Duterte of the Philippines. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.